Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all y'all on Blog Talk Radio. And good evening to you all on YouTube and Blog Talk Radio and our Zoomers. And anybody that finds us, oh, Rumble, all y'all over there on Rumble.
Oh, yeah.
God bring the Rumbleites together. We got the Zoomers, the YouTubers, and the Rumbleites.
And the Facebookies.
And the Facebookies. We're glad to have you with us tonight. Tonight's going to be a good program. You're going to love it, but you love every one of our programs.
Hi, Richard.
Hi, Richard. Bless you, brother.
We love you.
Are we private or are we going? 210 subscribers. Woo! Look at there. Four people watching now. Here they come. Kick them right in. Now, you know, we didn't want to be this late tonight, but guess what? We were racking up 100-fold return and 7 times and double for the shame, so I'm not going to apologize about my time. I'm going to rejoice in my portion.
Amen.
If you don't know what that means, well, hang on to your Bible and get your notepad and pen warmed up, because I'll give it to you a little bit later on. We're going to talk about that. But our program today is a new speaker that will enjoy our prayers. A new speaker that will enjoy our prayers. If you haven't listened to Dutch Sheets today, I would encourage you to listen to Dutch Sheets. You want to hear his Giving 15 from this morning, because he talked about the different people who were actually interceding for Mike Johnson. Even before Mike Johnson knew it had anything to do with him. And
that is awesome.
And that's the word that God gave me tonight. This Speaker of the House will enjoy our prayers. And I said that to my lovely wife and sidekick. She does a mean front kick too, so you got to watch it, you know. Anyways. And she said, and he will join us in the prayers.
Amen.
Amen.
Hi, Roger and Sunday. Love you.
And so we're gonna teach about that tonight. Now, I know that's not like a church thing that most people expect to hear when they come to church, but guess what? That's what's wrong with America, is the men of God and pastors quit preaching and teaching about politics.
Yeah.
And therefore now, you know, we left it to the wicked. And guess who's been the control of the politics? We ain't going there.
Ain't going there
no more. Hit the road, Jack, and don't you come back. So, let's jump right in. I'm diving in. Well, I like True Social, Roger. We just ain't over on there yet.
What is True Social?
True Social, I believe, is President Trump's site.
Oh.
I don't know. It's somebody's.
Oh.
So, let's start with our opening prayer. And then we're going to get right to it. Tonight, we're going to be, we're going to partake of Brother Gene and Flashpoint. He had a really good program on today, talking about the Speaker of the House and what's going on. Why am I showing the ceiling? No, I took care of the ceiling. Did you see that?
I don't know. I'm on YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube. Okay. Here we go. Our opening prayer.
What's going on?
Join us for our opening prayer. Close. Here we go.
Oh,
Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration boldly through the blood of Jesus as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God by the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, woo! We, the community of faith, declare, thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit. Flow, Holy Spirit, flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that believers' lives will be changed forever by the word of God, and glory and honor will be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Now, remember this, the commanded blessing of unity. This is our opening prayer. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. And just say it with me, and we do dwell together in unity. It is the precious anointing oil running down on the edge of Aaron's garment. It's like the dew of Hermon descending on the mountains of Zion. For there, and dwelling together in unity, the Lord commands the blessing on our life, life forevermore. In Jesus' mighty name. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. We proclaim this over the body. There is one body and one spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen and amen. Now, I'm going to stop right there because we got a lot to get done tonight. And that didn't work. Now what?
Keep hitting buttons until something changes.
That worked. Now, I want us to go right away to tonight's flashpoint with Brother Gene. It's really good. So I've almost got it. There we go. And here we go. And here we go. And share the screen. And I'm not going to do any specific talking about it. Let's just do it. Brother Gene and Flashpoint, you're going to love this.
This happened. Mike Johnson, watch. In their tallies, that the total number of votes cast is 429, of which the Honorable Mike Johnson of the state of Louisiana has received 220 votes.
Wow.
And the Honorable Hakeem Jeffries of the state of New York has received 209 votes. Therefore, the Honorable Mike Johnson of the state of Louisiana, having received a majority of the votes cast, is duly elected Speaker of the House of Representatives for the 118th Congress.
All right, Eric, you see that we have a new speaker. Interesting on this vote. I don't know if the Republicans got it together. I mean, there were no other, from what I saw, there was no others that were, you know, nobody voting randomly for McCarthy or for somebody else. You know, it seemed like they got it together. What do you think of this latest appointment?
This is the greatest news I've heard in a little while. Let's be honest. To get rid of Kevin McCarthy and replace him with this guy, this is a dream. Somebody needs to hug Matt Gaetz. I thank God that Matt Gaetz did what he did, because you want to talk about a great trade. This is amazing. This is a man, Mike Johnson, who is somebody who gets it. He's MAGA. He understands that Americans are sick of increasing our debt, sick of any number of things. Honestly, I am absolutely thrilled and a little stunned in a way that it turned out this well. God bless Matt Gaetz for standing firm. The swamp was so angry at what he did. And if you make the swamp angry, you're doing something right.
Amen. Good point. Let me show you Benny Johnson posted this. Last night, after being elected candidate for Speaker, Congressman Mike Johnson asked the Republican conference to bow their heads and join him in prayer.
Hallelujah.
I mean, Dutch, this is definitely looks like we're heading in the correct direction.
Yeah, and I know several people prophetically, at least two that I know personally, were alerted to pray for him back as early as last Saturday when his name wasn't even being mentioned, that the Lord said, pray for this man. I want to use him. And they felt it was for this. And then I know I have another friend who is very prophetic, who last Tuesday night was leading in a national prayer call for this man, saying this is God's choice. And so, you know, we all felt like Jim Jordan would be good. But I tell you, God moved supernaturally. I was in a gathering in Texas, just the sovereign hand of the Lord, and we felt we had to pray now for him in this process. We were literally several hundred of us interceding for him and this vote as it was taking place. So this is a gift from God. I agree with Eric. This is the grace of God.
Yes,
and
he
is moving.
Thank
and I said a couple of weeks ago, and I'll just remind people, said it 2 days in a row in the Post, God is about to hasten the pace. Things are going to speed up. Some of that will be evil, but it's also going to be breakthrough, answers to our prayers. This is a huge, huge victory for us.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah. Let me show you. This was his tweet before the vote that Mike Johnson put out there. In God We Trust, with the American flag right there. It shows who this guy really is. It's a great thing. In fact, let me show you what he had to say. Watch.
I want to tell all my colleagues here what I told the Republicans in that room last night. I don't believe there are any coincidences in a matter like this. I believe that Scripture, the Bible, is very clear that God is the one that raises up those in authority. He raised up each of you, all of us. And I believe that God has ordained and allowed each one of us to be brought here for this specific moment in this time. This is my belief. I believe that each one of us has a huge responsibility today to use the gifts that God has given us to serve the extraordinary people of this great country, and they deserve it.
John, you see that? I mean, that's pretty astounding.
Yeah, I agree. It's a miracle. And here's the thing. It's almost like they were so fatigued. They had 14 different candidates, 19 different votes just this year alone, and nobody could agree. They even call it the five families in the Republican Party. They're not all Christian, you know, with us on everything, but there's clearly a divide in the country between the two parties on the moral issues. And those five families all locked in, I'm not going for your guy, I'm not going for yours. And one of the greatest strengths he has
is he didn't have as many enemies as the other people because he's not as well known. And so sometimes God brings people in like a David to take on a Goliath where people aren't looking for it, people aren't ready for it, but he doesn't shy away from it. This guy was an alliance defending freedom. Most of you know that's in one of the top organizations that fights for religious freedom and life and all the things. That's what his job was before he went to Congress. He is a great, great man. He has got no small challenge on his hand. I mean, I would keep praying for him, not just pray that he gets there, but we got crises all over the world. We got a crisis in this country, and he still has the five families that all don't get along a lot of time. They like to feud with one another, and so we need to pray that God gives him wisdom like Solomon to know how to navigate those things and know which fights to bring up, which ones to wait for another day, and which ones to draw a line in the sand on. One of the things that I think is refreshing too, Gene, is that he's a fresh face. He's new. That's part of what's happened in politics. People are so fatigued by certain people. It's just a fresh face. They haven't had time to slander him yet. They'll do that. They've already started. But this is a breath of fresh air from the Holy Spirit.
I agree. I went back and I was looking at other videos yesterday, and then Jason found this one today. This goes back from earlier this year when he was in a committee hearing on what he had to say about fixing the border. Watch.
What you've documented carefully in the Twitter files are a couple of key facts. People will hear a lot of things today, but this is what they need to know. The federal government, from Democrat members of Congress to intelligence agencies, including the FBI, used Twitter and other social media companies to censor Americans' speech. If the alarm bells are not going off, then you're not paying attention. Over the past 3 years, documents show, they prove what you guys have uncovered here, is there's communication between Twitter and the FBI. It was constant. It was pervasive. Twitter was basically an FBI subsidiary before Elon Musk took it over. The Twitter files revealed that by 2020, Twitter was engaged in open information sharing with the intelligence community, and now we know there were many intelligence agencies apparently involved in this. The FBI pressured Twitter to act on election-related tweets leading up to the 2022 election. Of course, it did it in 2020 as well, and Twitter dutifully censored content as a result. Twitter executives restricted accounts. They censored speech that conflicted with the less narrative. Twitter has used its internal tools to control and manipulate considered misinformation, and who was determining that? It was the government bureaucrats. Documents show that Twitter used visibility filtering to restrict certain accounts and posts and remove people from the platform altogether. The Twitter files should be a matter of bipartisan concern for every member of Congress and every American citizen, because it is a bedrock principle of our constitutional system that the government does not get to decide what speech is acceptable or true. Under the First Amendment, Americans have a right to speak freely, regardless of whether their speech upsets the preferred narrative. In fact, that's when it needs the most vigorous protection. Everybody on the left used to believe in that, or at least they purported to. Government and media fact-checkers frequently get things wrong. The American people can't and shouldn't rely on so-called experts to be the arbiters of truth, disinformation boards, and the like. It doesn't matter what political party you're in. Government should not suppress important debates and public discourse. Gentlemen.
All right. Let me go to you. Eric, you know, I called the wrong video, but I wanted to get, we're going to hit this one first anyway. So on this Twitter files, I mean, he talked about a very important fact, Eric, how the fact checkers get it wrong. And that's the whole point of free speech, is that we're able to do that. Obviously we agree with that, because everybody in this room, this virtual room that we're in, has been either censored or canceled in some sort.
Big time. Big time. I'm going to tell you, first of all, the fact that he worked for the Alliance Defending Freedom, those guys are total heroes. I didn't know that. I just learned that listening to you now. That's amazing to me, because those guys are absolute heroes in fighting for religious liberty in America. So the fact that he goes from working from the Alliance Defending Freedom to this is astonishing. He gets it. He understands what the issues are. I'm just so blessed to think that, I mean, think of the voices. They were just complaining and whining and screeching and keening that, oh, we're going to have chaos, and it's so embarrassing that we got rid of Kevin McCarthy. Look at this. This is an amazing thing. A man who has a fire on these issues that concern every American. The censorship of free speech is despicable. Free speech and religious liberty are at the very heart of who we are as a people. Without that, there is no America. This guy gets it. He is now the Speaker of the House. Praise God.
Yeah, now let me play this about what he said about the border. You'll like this, Flashpoint Army. This is from his speech on fixing the border. Watch.
We have a catastrophe at our southern border. The Senate and the White House can no longer ignore the problem. from Texas to New York, wave after wave of illegal migrants are stressing our communities to their breaking points. We know that our streets are being flooded with fentanyl, and all of our communities, children, and even adults are dying from it. The status quo is unacceptable. Inaction is unacceptable, and we must come together and address the broken border. We have to do it.
Hallelujah.
All right, so I'll let that play a little bit longer because I wanted you to see it, that last shot, and I don't know if you guys can go back and get a freeze frame of that. There's, you know, it's just bizarre to me, Dutch, that, yeah, there they are. Half are standing applauding, half are sitting down, and we're talking about closing our border, considering what's coming across the border now, considering what's happening with Israel's borders. Now that this is,
just say it.
It's still astounding to me that people would actually be against the border.
It tells you everything you need to know to see those people sitting. They want what's happening to happen. They want these people. And I'm not saying they want the terrorists, but they have to know it's happening. And so, you know, it's disgusting. It's a disgrace. Not only the fentanyl, but we know now. We know there must be thousands. At least hundreds, but probably thousands of these terrorists. We not only need wisdom now to know how to fix this, close it. It's going to take years to somehow overcome what has happened. We need people in there with wisdom to do it. God, I believe God is giving us the kind of people that can be raised up as Josephs, Daniels. We want godly people, but we also want people with wisdom. We want constitutional specialists and experts.
Yeah, that's right.
I believe he's given us that. We've seen the results of the left and what they're doing, and now we just need to keep praying for this man and others to be raised up to lead us out of this mess.
I agree. Eric, I'll give you a chance to comment, then I'm going to ask you to pray for Speaker Johnson.
Well, again, you know, it is very hard for most of us to comprehend how somebody can turn a blind eye to evil. When you see the Democratic Party sitting on their hands, he just mentioned fentanyl, it seems like they're dead inside, like their hearts are dead. They don't care about human beings and families whose lives are being destroyed. They don't care about sex trafficking, children being raped. All of this stuff is factual. These are people theoretically elected to care about this kind of stuff, and they don't care about it. It's simply astonishing, and it's why we have to be very involved politically, because to have people like this in Congress is just a blight on this nation and the whole world. Let me pray. Abba Father, we thank you, Lord, for bringing Mike Johnson into the speakership.
Yes.
This is a heavenly blessing, Lord. We
thank
don't
you.
Deserve it,
thank
but you are a merciful God, and we thank you. We speak your blessing over this man and over all that he turns his hand to.
Yes.
Father God, we pray that you would use him mightily to drain the swamp, mightily as a force of righteousness to restore order and faith and godly values to this nation through that legislative arm we call the Congress. Father, use him in Jesus' name. Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen.
Faith comes.
There's so much in that needs to be spoken about and explained and shared. And I want to deal. Let me get my mouth right here. All right. So I'm really close to getting my mouth right. Hold on just a second. There was one more video that we were going to watch here. Do you remember what it was, love? What was the other video we were going to watch? Anyways, well,
I think that was just it.
No, there was one more, but it'll be all right. We'll find it. It's not here right now, so I'm going to go back to this, and it'll come to us, and then we'll find it, and we'll do it. Now watch this. Oh, I know what it was. All right. Now, it was how long did Nancy Pelosi serve as Speaker of the House? Somebody find that information. Let's put it in. But Jesus said, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. Now, what you and I've got to see is that as we have prayed over the last number of years that Nancy Pelosi was actually in serving as the Speaker of the House, as we have prayed for things in America and for things in politics to work, she didn't appreciate our prayers. She didn't take them to heart. As a matter of fact, she ruled and moved most generally opposite of our prayers and in opposition to those prayers. That is not going to be the case with this man. This man is going to come to us regularly and say, will all y'all please pray? There you go. 52nd Speaker of the House from 2007 to 2011 and again from 2019 to 2023. Well, there you go. 4 years and 4 years. So she served 8 years. In those 8 years, thank you, Richard. Appreciate it, brother. She didn't want our prayers because our prayers were stopping the work that she was trying to get accomplished. And exactly what the men of Flashpoint just said caused them to sit there and not give a standing ovation for the man of God saying he's going to deal with the border. But see, they're all connected in this thing about the border. They're all connected in it. They're all a part of it. They all want this catastrophe at the border because they're not Americans. They were born here. They have a citizenship here. But they have changed their allegiance and sworn their allegiance to obviously communism and socialism somewhere. And now, all of a sudden, you're going to see things that we have been praying for now since 2019, you know, probably since 2000, who knows, seven. We're going to see things we've been praying for begin to move very swiftly now. Why? Because the Speaker of the House actually wants the prayers that we have prayed and has the experience to get something done with the position he's now been handed as the Speaker of the House. In the name of Jesus, may the four big families that they just talked about in politics be removed and good people be put in their place that are not about a big name and a big family, but are just about getting the work of God done and the things of the United States of America done with no discouragement, with no fear of their political agenda being hindered. In the mighty name of Jesus, move the Rockefellers, move the Kennedys, move the Bushes out. Get them all out, Jesus. And what's the other guy? Mitt Romney. Move all the Romneys out. Get them out of there. and give us a fresh batch of new Americans that are doing the work you've given us to do in the mighty, awesome, wonderful, amazing name of Jesus, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, there was one other video we had today that we were going to play for people. What was it?
I thought that was it.
I assigned you to go find that, whatever it is.
Did you see Richard put in there?
Yeah.
Pelosi.
Yeah.
Boy, it seemed like she was in there way.
Yeah, because when the wicked rule, the people groan.
Yeah.
She's groaning right over there right now. All right. Now, the next thing I'm going to do, Sister Anne's going to find that other video we had today.
The only one they remember we were going to play was the one with Gene with Dutch in it, and then we wanted to hear his speech about the borders.
Like I said, she's going to find that other video. Oh, my. This is Brother Dutch's prayer from this morning. And I want us to put it up, and we're going to pray it right now. And for those of you that are not a part of our morning prayer program every day, I encourage you to come and be a part of it, because it's of absolute importance. Now, give me just a minute, and I'm going to teach us some really good word. Why pastors need to be teaching about things of politics. You can run, and you can say preachers don't belong in politics, and then you can keep picking up the messed up pieces, the broken pieces of our lives here in the United States of America, because we kick the preachers out, who gives us the ability to have a moral absolute, whose name is God. And God doesn't want you to become religious and become a part of a religious organization. God wants you to open the door and let him come and live on the inside of you. That's why he said we don't have a king. Our king is Jesus. Think about it. We don't need King George over us or King Charlie. No. We got a king. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
And that's why the United States of America was founded. Oh, I didn't share the screen. I kept expecting that prayer to show up as if I shared the screen. Let me get a few things ready. I want you to pray this prayer with me. This prayer was from Brother Dutch this morning, from the Giving 15 program, speaking about the new speaker. Here we go. Father, thank you for this miracle in the house. I also believe you are thanking those who prayed as your spirit has led us. Many in the body of Christ are becoming aware that you want to partner with your kids, working in and through us to accomplish your purposes. Please increase this revelation. Amen. We ask now for wisdom and revelation to be given to Speaker Johnson. Lead him in this important role, guiding his decisions and actions. Keep him free from unnecessary distractions and inappropriate influences. That's one of the most powerful prayers that we must pray every day. Now, that don't take you long to pray it. Keep him free from unnecessary distraction and inappropriate influences. Why? Because money is going to talk to him like money has never talked to him before. Because these people get bought out with millions and millions and millions of dollars offered to them. Surround him with the right people, staff, advisors, and those who will faithfully pray for him. Give him great grace to lead in this very turbulent time and great boldness. You have prepared him. We know you will now lead him. He will be a beacon of hope for America. We pray for protection over his life, his family, and his staff. Raise up many to pray for him. Surround him with angels and your holy presence. May he walk in great peace, enabling him to be led by the Holy Spirit, the mind of Christ, and your heart. Teach him more and more your ways. Make him a modern-day Joseph, Daniel. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We decree once again, with great assurance and bold faith, America shall be saved. America shall be saved.
Amen. Hi, Braden. Love ya.
Good evening, Braden. Love you, buddy. Now, that was part two of tonight, but that's still not the other video that we were going to play for tonight. It's coming to us right now. We are going to find it. Is it on this one? Is that where it is?
I don't know.
You don't know. Well, I actually think you do know. But it's okay. Now, do this with me. You, home. There's my home. This thing's weird right here. No, it wasn't on this one. All right. Come on. Get yourself set up right. There we go. Now, turn with me to the book of Daniel. That's awesome. Love you too, Brig. Turn with me to the book of Daniel.
Daniel.
Is the largest of the minor prophets. The major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. Daniel might even be considered a major prophet. But anyways, we're going to go to the book of Daniel, chapter number 2. And let's see. You know how it is. We start looking at the Bible like, yeah, just read it.
Yeah.
That's the way it's supposed to be. When you open up and look at your Bible, you just say, let's just read it. Remember, if you read your Bible to be deep theologically, you're going to be disappointed from what you get from the Bible. Because reading the Bible is never about gaining some high level of depth of anointing and understanding, and I am now the thought of this great and amazing and mighty man of God because I know so much. Because they put all of their righteousness in their ability to change the inflection of their voice. Well, shame on you. Pastor, don't put shame on people. Well, if you think anointing makes you change your voice, you're weird. Quit being weird. Just be you.
Amen.
If you like to shout hallelujah, do it. If you don't, don't. But be you no matter what. Not sure what that had to do about with all this, but it's all right. Are you ready? Daniel chapter 2. And we're going to start out with verse 1. And, you know, let's go down here to, I don't know. Let's go down here to, let's go clear down to 19. That gives us a good start, doesn't it? Now, we're in Daniel chapter 2, verses 1 through 19, Braden. And if you want to type them verses in for us, you can, buddy. Most of all, get your Bible and read along with us. It's a great story. This is a story that happened to a young man, probably, I don't know. How old was he? Probably between 15 and 20. So it's not like he was a very old person in the Bible, even though the Bible is very old. Ready? Watch this. In the second year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Well, who's Nebuchadnezzar? He's the king. He's the political leader. Right?
Yeah, where did you put me at?
We're in Nebuchadnezzar chapter 2, Daniel 2, 1.
Oh, I thought you said 19. Okay.
2, 1 through 19.
Through 19. Starting at 19. I've caught up.
Well, I'll tell you what. You start at 19 and go backwards. I'll start at 1 and go forward. We'll meet in the middle. Yeah. Nebuchadnezzar is the political leader. We're talking about politics tonight. Isn't it wonderful? I love it. And he had a dream, and his spirit was so troubled that his sleep left him. I encourage you to pray that prayer over any politician that's acting like a stinking moron. Give them a dream, Jesus, and make it so severe that it troubles them, and they don't sleep.
There you go.
Well, Pastor, don't you know you're going to reap that harvest? No, because I ain't doing bad. They're doing bad. Their dreams should be waking them up in the night.
Amen.
Filled with fear. Anyways, 2, the king called the magicians, the astrologers, the soothsayers, the sorcerers, and the Chaldeans. All of those people are witchcraft. But kings that weren't men of God had witchcraft all around them because they wanted to have an up on everybody around them. And that's what a deceiving spirit does, is it helps you have an up on other people around you that don't ever know anything's going on in the spirit. And they came in and stood before the king, and the king said to them, I've had a dream, and my spirit is anxious to know the dream. The Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic, O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will give the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldean, my decision is firm. If you do not make known the dream to me and its interpretation, you will be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made an ash heap. That's interesting. However, if you tell the dream and the interpretation, you shall receive from me gifts, rewards, and great honor. Therefore, tell me the dream and its interpretation. Why? Because I want to give you great honor, and I want to know what this dream was. It was bothering me. I love this answer. They answered and said, well, a king, and whenever you hear somebody getting stuck in the, it's because they don't know what to say. Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we'll give its interpretation. The king answered and said, I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm. If you do not make known to me the dream, there is only one decree for you. For you have agreed to speak lying and corrupt words before me till the time is changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that you can give me its interpretation. Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. Last night I went to sleep.
What is that, Braden?
I don't know what that is. Keep talking, buddy. I love that verse 10. There is not a man on earth who can tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such a thing of a magician, astrologer, or Chaldean. Watch this. I love this. It is a difficult thing that the king requests, and there's no one. There's no other who can tell it except the gods whose dwelling is not with flesh, and yet his dwelling was with flesh. And the flesh was about, within a half a mile of where these boys are standing is Daniel. I mean, verse 12. For this reason, the king was very angry and very furious, and gave the commandment to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went out, and they began killing the wise men. And they sought Daniel and his companions to kill them. 14. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, why is the decree from the king so urgent? Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house, made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. The secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Job 33. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and I got very good sleep. That's awesome. That's awesome, brother. That's awesome, Braden. That's what we prayed, and that's what you had. I went to school, I went to sleep, and I got very, very good sleep. Hallelujah. Now, I've been praying that same thing over every one of y'all. So if you ain't getting sleep, you better get your prayers connected with mine like Braden did last night. I ain't saying that pridefully, but as your pastor, I pray for you every night that deep sleep falls upon you. Deep sleep. Why do I got to have deep sleep, Pastor? Because then you'll be rest. You say it.
Because then you'll be rested and restored.
Hallelujah. I think you need one more R word in there, though, because I was really rested, restored, and rejuvenated. Hallelujah. Yeah. Well, Daniel sings a song. How about we read it? How many of you think there were some songs being sung last night with the Speaker of the House being named?
Oh, my.
Watch this.
Yeah.
Verse 20. I'm in Daniel 2:20. Daniel answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. Remember what Jesus said? To him who has, more will be given. There it is in the Old Testament. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what's in the darkness. And light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God, my Father. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we have asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's dream. Can you imagine Daniel walking in there the next day and the king looking at him saying, did you get it? Yep. And the king's got to be like, really? Seriously? I'm just going to keep reading. You know how it is around here. Every now and then we just read, and then sometimes we preach. But tonight, we're just going to read again. This is all politics. Do you realize that this is young Daniel, 20-ish years old, maybe at the most, and the king that is the most powerful king in the whole world? This is the story that we're reading. This is politics on this page right here. Well, God's going to jump in the middle of politics. God Almighty gave a wicked king who didn't know him a dream and gave Daniel, who is now his captive, the dream and the interpretation so that Daniel would be elevated in the government and the king would trust everything into Daniel's hand. Now, there's no other way to look at that, but that's what God wants to do in every one of the governments of this world. Amen. I'm reading Daniel 2:24. Daniel went to Arioch when the king had appointed to destroy the wise men. He went and said this to him, hey, Arioch, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king, and I will tell the king the interpretation. Arioch quickly, he was all done having to kill wise men, right? That's got to be a horrible assignment. That Arioch, who's your leader, walks in and says, hi, how you doing, you know, Kazubiak? And he's like, I'm all right. What are you doing there? Stab, and he has to cut his throat. That's got to be a bad day. I don't care who you are. Took him before the king and said to him, I have found a man, the captives of Judah, who will make known to the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation? You got to know this king's eyes are this big around, and his ears are kind of just, you know, twitching a little bit, like, woo, something's getting ready to happen. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded, the magicians, the astrologers, the soothsayers, cannot declare to the king. But there is a God. You want to say it? But there is a God. I'm typing it in right now. But there is a God. Type it in. In heaven, who reveals secrets. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions upon your bed were these. And then he goes into it. As for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he, notice that he is capitalized. That's God. All right. Who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be to come. But as for me, The secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone living. But for your sake, but for our sake, who make known the interpretation to the king, and that you may know the thoughts of your heart. And then Daniel starts to tell him what he saw. And let's go down here to verse 44. In the days of these kings of the gods of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Well, that's the kingdom of God. And you and I are in that kingdom right now. And look at what it says. And it shall stand forever. That's why you got to get in the kingdom of God. I don't know about getting into church and being a Christianese person. That's why you got to get into the kingdom. Because it's going to stand forever. 45, inasmuch as you saw the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. This dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure. Stop there. It's about to get gooder. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face prostrate before Daniel. That ain't very wise, king, for you to fall down in front of a 20-year-old. And commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God, this is what I love about this. Daniel set it up so well at the beginning that the king said, your God, you Daniel.
Yeah.
See, if we do it wrong, people point to us. If we do it right, they point to God. But who, you know, well, I guess I was going to say a statement that's not quite true, but can I just make a statement and nobody freak out and throw anything and run away? There shouldn't be anybody on this face of the earth that wants people to come to you for the answer. What kind of answer do you have except what God's given to you?
Amen.
We don't have an answer that's not from God. So don't be acting like it's from you. That's that dream that Lisa Bevere had like way back, like 25 years ago. Of a faceless army marching with their face looking at Jesus, and nobody could tell whose rank was what. Nobody was concerned about who was around them. Everybody was just glad to be in the army of God out there getting the mission accomplished. I'll try it again. I'm in verse 46, Daniel 2:46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, something like President Trump. Sorry, I put that in there. I didn't want anybody to be offended. But I hadn't stirred the pot good enough, so I figured I might as well say his name. And command they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel, truly your God is the God of gods, the Lord of the kings, and the revealer of secrets. Since you could reveal this secret, the king promoted Daniel, gave him many great gifts, and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, and the chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. That means Daniel's now in charge of the witch, the warlock, the soothsayer, the star reader, and all the rest of them. And do you know, even with Daniel, mighty man of God, Daniel in charge of them, there's still a bunch of them that just are so screwed up that they try to get him thrown in prison, thrown in the lion's den. They don't like him. Why? Because he's a man of God. not a man of a demonic spirit.
Woo!
And Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Wow. You ready? Father, in Jesus' name, may no one be able to resist the wisdom and the spirit of our speaker of the house. His name? Mike Johnson. I'm going to have to get a big piece of paper up here that says Mike Johnson so I get it in my head. May they not be able to resist it. May the American people say, like King Nebuchadnezzar, there is a God in heaven. May every special warrior, special forces, troops, group, organization say, we have finally got us a leader that will help us take America back. May every wicked terrorist organization flee this country.
Amen.
We don't want them to go anywhere. We want them to get saved. We want them to get born again, filled with the Holy Spirit of God. But if you refuse, then there's nothing left to you except to be destroyed, and you will be destroyed. Even as we speak, Israel has begun its attack into Gaza to rid this world of this horrible scourge called Hamas. Horrible. Scott, Cheryl, welcome.
Hi, Scott. Love you.
Welcome, welcome. Now watch this. This is one story of a young man who in the political room, what's the word I'm looking through? The throne room, the center of the politics of Babylon, the king. He's a king. He's in. This is Daniel, the young man of God, in the king's court. Woo! Don't you love it? And then we go right out of that to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, and the three Hebrew children. And these are bad, wicked politicians later trying to elevate the king high above everything and most of all get rid of those three Hebrews.
Yeah.
Can you see it? We're still here. It's the same. These are the same relatives. These are relatives of Hamas and Hezbollah right now. This is the same relatives back there trying to get rid of the three Hebrews.
Yep.
And God said, oh, yeah? Well, stoke your fire, Nebi, because you're fixing to get a revelation of who I am.
Amen.
And the king was furious with him. The king was furious with him. Let's read it. Seems to be the process for the last two nights. Ready? Daniel 3:19. Somebody shout, I love the word.
I love the word.
Amen. That's amazing. Braden and Scott are on your talking. I love it. Daniel 3:19. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression of his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace seven times more than it was usually heated. And here's the thing, guys. Let me see how many years. What is this? This is about, according to my records here, this is about, can't be that long. 604. Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is about 20 years later. So they've been leading Daniel, Azariah, Mishael, Hananiah, have been leading in the nation of Babylon and for 20 years, and now here these guys come, and they're blowing smoke on Nebuchadnezzar, saying, oh, let us honor you. And Nebuchadnezzar believed it. Why do you do that? Anyways. 20, and he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into the burning fiery furnace. See, the soothsayers, the witches, the warlocks, and all of the witchcraft people had gotten back in and begun to get the ear of Nebuchadnezzar, and their demonic spells had begun to work. That's why you and I got to continually be taking the blood of Jesus to our great nation. Because
yeah.
There ain't nothing anybody can do when the blood of Jesus is put out there where it's supposed to be. 21. Then these men were bound in their coats. I think this is interesting. And their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments, and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent, and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. May this be happening right now around
yeah.
this earth.
Amen.
That's awesome. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke to one of his counselors, saying, did we cast in there three people or four? And they answered to the king, true, O king. He answered, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. How did Nebuchadnezzar know what the Son of God looked like? How did they know?
How did he know?
You're the woman and the wife, and I ask you, you know everything. For all of you men watching, that was not necessarily a wise thing to say or do.
You didn't see anything fly by your head, so.
He said, I see four men loosed and walking around in there. See, this is how you and I are supposed to influence politics. This is what it should be. Pastor, I don't want to get thrown into a fiery furnace. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? Because if you're protected by God, you're protected by God. If you're not protected by God, you already messed up anyway, so you better be counting on God's mercy and grace, because something ain't going to come out right for you. But that's not because of the immediate situation. That's because something happened before that. And you didn't have your stuff together or chose not to get it together. But these three of your children, they weren't worried. They're like, whatever. Should we read that?
Sure.
Let's just read it. Let's read Daniel 3. You got to get this. Because some people are going to be required, because of who we are, to give responses like this. You got to walk with God. You don't get this kind of response unless you walk with God. You ready? This is Daniel 3:16. Hey, it's a 3:16 verse. Like John 3:16?
Yeah.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King.
Amen.
But if not, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up.
There you go.
So if all y'all are going to make it hotter, well, guess what? I was listening to a message of Rodney Howard Brown after he refused to close his church for COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
And they said, well, we'll throw you in jail. He said, and I'll get out because I'll start a revival. And he gets out and he tells the church, I'm going to put a gallows right outside the door, right outside the church here. So they don't have far to take me if they want to hang me. Wait, what is that? See, all of a sudden we're like, wait a minute, this is, I have a constitution. That's what the Apostle Paul said. Should we look at that one too? You want to look at that one? Might as well. Acts chapter 16, look at this. See, some of you have never had anybody teach or preach politics as a preacher. A lot of people choose not to get their ducks in a row. Man, today, Sister Leanne and I saw a flock of ducks or geese or something.
Oh, my goodness.
I am telling you, these, they were flying in a perfect V. It was like, it's cold up here, boys. Everybody keep the wings just right and we'll all stay warm. And they were white. They were all white. And they were flying up there about 1,000 feet and maybe 500 feet. And it was just absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, just amazing.
And if Sister Leanne gets a picture up, she might show it to you.
We'll be able to see it or not.
Let's see. Nah, you won't be able to.
Oh, yeah, you can. We'll be just not that far. Not that.
See that V in there?
Yeah.
Those are birds flying.
Perfect
flight. Why did I bring that story up?
Because Rebecca was talking about people not getting their ducks in a row.
Oh, they had their ducks in a row. These ducks were in a row.
Perfect rows. We're not normally distracted this easily, but...
Squirrel.
Oh my.
Now watch. Acts 16. This is politics, guys. This is politics. This is a spiritual leader dealing with politics. Watch what happens. Let's do Acts 16 and let's do 6 through 10. Ready? When they'd gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they'd come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. Them boys went a long ways. And they had God say, no. God has his ducks in a row. That's good, Richard. Yeah, but the next batch we saw, they weren't in a row. They were all messed up. A vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And now after he had seen this vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to the Macedonians. And that's really when the Church of Europe started, right there. That's when the gospel was spread, when the Apostle Paul took it. Well, then Lydia is baptized, and then, seller of purple, and when she in her house baptized, she begged us, saying, if we found Let's see, 16. Happened as they went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune telling. Paul and was this Silas? Paul and who is it? Yeah, Silas. Paul and Silas cast that demon out of her, and they're like, uh-oh, she can't bring us money now anymore by witchcraft. And so they went, and look what it says. Let's see. When her master saw that the hope of the 19, hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. And then 22, the multitude rose up together against them. The magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. They tore their clothes off them. These are men of God that are having politicians rip their clothes off them. Watch what happens. And they laid many stripes on him. They threw him into the prison, commanded the jailer to keep him secure. And having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison. That's solitary confinement. Fastened their feet in the stocks. And then Paul and Silas began to praise God at midnight, right? And then they had a big earthquake. And if you didn't know it, there was 30 earthquakes in the last 24 hours here on planet Earth. That's pretty serious. And there was a huge flood somewhere where there was a desert. And these people were very serious against Israel. And God's like, well, I'll just cover you up with water.
Yeah. Flooded to the top of their cars.
I didn't destroy the whole earth, but we just covered up all your stuff with water. So it won't work now. All right. So when it was day, the magistrate sent to the officers saying, let these men go. Keeper of the prison reported these words to Paul saying, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Therefore, depart and go in peace. I love Paul. Paul said to them, they have beaten uncondemned. Oh, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned Romans. And they have thrown us into prison. And now they put us out quietly, secretly? No. Indeed, let them come themselves and just out. Why? Because Paul was going to look at him and say, I'm appealing to Caesar, and you're going to lose your job. And the officers told these to the magistrates, and they were afraid when they heard that they were Romans. Then they came and pleaded with them and brought them out and asked them to depart from the city. So they went out of the prison, entered the house of Lydia, and when they'd seen the brethren, they encouraged them, and then they departed. You guys, you and I we've got to become this bold. We are the mighty army of God, the body of Christ. We don't just say it. It's really what we are. Mike Johnson got to the position he is because we prayed. There's no other way around it. We have prayed for men and women of God to fill all the political positions. We have declared over and over that the voices of the wicked are no longer heard, right? We say the confession all the time. We know our voice is heard in heaven, and their voice, secular humanist, is only heard by man on earth, and we declare they'll no longer hear them because they see the truth. I'm telling you guys, right now, the truth is coming out about terrorism and Hamas and Hezbollah and Palestinians. The truth is coming out.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a whole bunch of nations around the world that if they don't just bow to them, it isn't going to be well in the street. And those nations aren't going to put up with those guys very long. You are not the majority here. And then, wow, there'll be some nations that will harbor all of them, but that ain't going to be good. And there's, we read the verses at the beginning of this war in Psalm 83 and Isaiah 17. And wherever the verses are about Damascus, Damascus is going to be destroyed. And that's a big city. And Israel will be living in peace when the rapture happens. And Russia will be coming after them because they're living in peace. And as it stands right now, the world better pay attention. And if you, it's so amazing. Because if they just read this book, they know exactly how to operate. Anybody that blesses Israel, God's going to take care of them. And everybody that stands against Israel, God Almighty is going to stand against you. Well, it's the Jews. It's the problem with the whole world. I know. I've heard it. Well, no. No, it's the devil that's the problem with the whole world. And there's Jewish bad people. And there's Italian bad people. And there's Korean bad people. And there's German bad people. And there's American bad people. So it's not about any people group. It's about the wickedness of the world. And you and I are at a point in American history where we've got to pray for our leaders greater than we have ever prayed for them before. Yeah, now it's the time. Stand up. Rise up. Stand up and speak up. And don't ever stop. It's like, I'm so amazed by us. If you'll allow me to say that without, you know, saying bastards in prime. No, I'm amazed by us because it's been a pretty severe battle the last 3 years to make all this come to become.
Well, you know.
To make all this happen like we have. I don't want nothing from you. I'm getting a reward in heaven. I got a hundredfold return coming. But I'm just letting you know, it has been a challenge. I know we make it look pretty simple, but there's some serious work to this.
And there's some days we don't. But thank you for your patience with us.
But here's the reality. The reality is you and I have been making it happen. We've been standing in the gap. We've been making up the heads. We've been doing our part. We've been speaking the word of God. And you know what? God is not unjust. He will not forget our work and our labor of love. And listen, not only will he not forget it, he said, I'm going to bless you with a hundredfold return of everything you give up to do the work of the kingdom. A hundredfold return. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. If you're wondering if you got any jewels in your crown, if you stick with us and you help us do what we do, you're going to have serious jewels in your crown, because all of the blessings of God that come upon us because of this ministry, because we do this work in the ministry together, everything that's added to my name will be added to yours because you're a partner with us. That is pretty big. I've been a partner with Dr. Barclay now for 30 years. And guess what? Everything he's doing to reach people, I get a jewel because of it. Why? Because I'm his partner. And I'm serious about being his partner. And I want to help him do more than he's ever done before.
Amen.
See, and I just read, what did we read? Three stories. I just read three stories. That's all I read. There's 50 stories in the Bible. about political leaders all freaked out and the man of God stepping up and it changing everything. Think about Abraham. When Lot chose the well-watered plain and he went to Sodom and Gomorrah. And then those five kings came and took over Sodom and Gomorrah and Lot was captive. Abraham with his 318 men who he trained in his own house took off, and they themselves, 318 men in one farmer's house, wiped out four kings. And Abraham said, I don't want your stuff. I'm not going to have you saying you're the one that made me who I am. I ain't doing that. God bless you. Go back and do this. And don't be overrun next time, would you? I don't like to get woke up in the middle of the night to have to come fight somebody else's battle. No, come on. It's time to get serious in prayer. Yeah, but Pastor, you guys just pray too long every morning. We don't pray too long. In my opinion, we don't pray long enough.
Just be there for as long as you can.
Yeah.
If it's not the whole time.
Be there as long as you can. Amen. Be there as long as you can. Come on, computer. Whatever you do, don't be offended at an app or at your cell phone. Don't be offended. It doesn't matter how they treat you. Just don't be offended. Because you can't stand before Jesus and have Jesus say, so why are you going to hell? I was offended at my Apple phone. Oh, that is a horrible sin. People are like, is that a sin, Pastor? No. Your actions and how you act when your phone don't work is what turns into the sin. I hear people cussing their phone all the time, and I think a half an hour from now, you're going to need to make a phone call. Now what are you going to do when it doesn't work? Power of life and death is in your tongue. The Apostle Paul said, pray first for those who are in authority. Father, we pray for Mike Johnson. We speak the blood of Jesus over the Speaker of the House, over the White House, over everything that goes on in there. Thank you for Mike Johnson. May they immediately bring back the worship services. Immediately. May they immediately start dealing with all of these issues that are so plaguing America. And we declare that he has unanimous support.
Yes, amen.
All the game players gone. Remove them, Father. Take them out of the way. Get them out of the way. He has unanimous support. And we declare right now that he sets America in order in a matter of months and undoes all of the things of wickedness that have been done and been forced upon us as America.
Amen.
We call them undone. We've been calling them undone for the last 3 years right here. And your wickedness has now come undone. And remember what it said about Michigan? Michigan's been lacing up the gloves.
Yeah.
And there's going to come an uppercut from the upper state. You know how it said it? Uppercut from the upper state that was going to deal a lethal blow to a major agenda. If you're from the upper state, just wake up every day with the uppercut. Come on. Give them that uppercut. And do it in the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, according to the word of God, and then pray in the spirit so that whatever that uppercut is comes to pass. Because God's doing a new thing, and even now it will spring forth, Isaiah 42. Don't be afraid of politics. If you're supposed to, wade right into the middle of it and be a mighty man or woman of God. If you're not supposed to be in politics, well, then don't get in it, because you don't want to get in there and all of a sudden say, what am I doing in here? Because there's an anointing for that place in every nation. And if you're in there, you need that anointing. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, it might not seem like that was very deep and theological, but his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. That's a promise from God, because we take his yoke upon us. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, here we go. It's a messy place. Pray without ceasing. Yeah, amen.
Amen.
But listen, don't pray without CC. Just pray without ceasing. You may not have got that, but that was good. Isn't CC Dutch's wife?
Oh,
all right. Don't pray without CC. She's quite a prayer warrior.
Can a joke be considered funny if you have to explain it? We've had a lot of fresh air today.
We had a lot of fresh air today. Amen. I didn't get it.
None of us did, Rebecca.
It's like we used to say in the 80s, just parted your hair. I said, pray without ceasing. Just don't do it without CC. CC is Dutch Sheets, his wife. And she's quite a prayer warrior. So it's actually like a three-layer deep joke. And you know, you had to be paying attention to the whole program. Where are we at? Oh, it's time to do communion. Okay. Wait, let's pray. Everybody lift your hands and point at Washington, D.C., which to us, where are we at?
The north that way.
So point down that way and make this confession with me. Father, we bless Mike Johnson.
Bless Mike Johnson.
And all of the representatives. Do what is right. Do what is right.
Do what is right.
And stop what is wrong.
Stop what is wrong.
In the mighty name
of Jesus.
Bring them everything they need to get this work. Bring them everything.
Bring them everything they need to get this work done.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Oh my. You know, I was laying underneath my truck today working at it and thinking, it ain't that cold out here. It didn't really feel that cold. I mean, it was cold, but it wasn't like it was freezing cold. And then
it was 11.
I know. And then on the way into the apartment, I was on the phone with Brother Dan, and he's like, well, so how cold is it? I said 11. I'm like, no, now that makes it feel a little colder.
It is pretty amazing, though. We've had, you know, our second day of snow, and we already have 10-foot snowbanks the kids were sledding on today.
The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous to cover up Halloween avails much.
Yes, amen.
God said, oh, that's what you want to do with Halloween? Yes. In the mighty name of Jesus.
There, Rebecca was echoing you properly.
Good job, Rebecca. You're doing a good job, man. Mary, Pastor Rick, we miss you. Get back here. She's like, I ain't coming back there. I don't care what you say. Here we go. We're going to share our screen, and we're going to get right into communion.
You had like a summer day today, really?
Yeah, we did too.
We had sunshine.
We did have sunshine. Beautiful blue sky.
Nice breeze.
A nice breeze. Yeah, I'd say that for sure, at least. It was a nice breeze. Yeah, we're down to 11, so, you know, that's not too bad.
We got up to 14.
Oh, it's actually down to 9 now. Wow. What is this actually going to say?
I don't know, but it did get up to 14.
It did make it all the way up to 14.
Yeah.
This afternoon when the sun was shining. So, thank you, Jesus.
Sunday, it's 70 here.
70 there. Yeah, go ahead, talk about it. My phone has finally just in the world. Here we go with the communion verses. Hallelujah. Now, maybe you've never been a part of our program when we did communion. What we're going to do now is we're going to read the verses about communion. And then we're going to pray the prayer of salvation. That way everybody's heart will be right. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we're going to read the word to you first. And let you speak it right out loud. You need to speak it right out loud. And then, because you'll get such a greater grasp of it when you can read it right out loud. And then we'll pray the prayer of salvation. You'll join in with us. That will make you in right standing with God. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, it's not too bad. It's not too horrible. If you want God, God wants you. Let's read. This is the word of God on communion. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often
as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you
proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
But
let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. He who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, you may have been made perfect in love, but you just don't understand how to walk with God. And if that's the case, we're going to help you do it right here. Because we know how to walk with God. And we enjoy the trip with our Father. Are you ready? Pray the prayer of salvation. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness,
filling every part of my life
with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire, so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Welcome to the family of God. Welcome. God wants you to be welcome in this family. Now, you might say, Pastor, what is going on the inside of me? You are experiencing in your life the salvation instruction. Darkness turns to light because Jesus, the light of the world, just came to live in you. Fear turns to faith because he is the author of faith and the finisher. You are being made into the righteousness of God right now in Christ Jesus. His righteousness is actually being imputed into you. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. And all of that just happened right there while you were praying. Now, you can see my email address is there. The email address and the website, we want you to be a part of that. You can send me an email, ask me a question, tell me your story, give me a prayer request. And we'll be glad to give you a very biblical answer of exactly how God views the situation that you're in. But most of all, walk with God every day. Walk with God every day and walk beside us every day, because we want you to be a part of it. Now, let me go back here real quick. Grab a screenshot of it. This is one of the most powerful teachings right here you can ever have. It's right there on that one screen. And that way, if you take a screenshot, you'll have the email address and website the next time you try to run it. You're going to go to it. In Jesus' mighty name. Are we ready? Let's grab our elements and hold them up. Pray this with me. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, receive these elements today. This bread representing your body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me.
I do this
in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my willpower, and in my emotion, there is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body, from your broken body, Jesus,
in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world,
wherever you send me for this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's receive the bread together. In Jesus' mighty name. And now I bless the fruit of the vine.
In obedience to
your word, in remembrance of your bloodshed, to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed.
By
your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father.
By your blood, Jesus,
every sin has been placed in remission in my life.
I am a new creation,
recreated in Christ Jesus. Things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus,
I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy,
grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth.
By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony,
the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus,
every plague, every curse must pass over
and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged, my robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish when you come for me. I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Let's receive the blood of Jesus now. And then the Bible says they sang a hymn and went out. You want to sing it with me? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. You will quickly learn that the greatest force you've ever known is the blood of Jesus. And it works in every area of your life. And we encourage you, live in the blood. Use it every day. Paul wrote in Hebrews, because of the blood of Jesus, you and I get to enter in into the most holy places of God. Boldly, in Jesus' mighty name. Well, like we said last night, remember this, Jude, verse 20. Building up yourselves and your most holy faith, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And then Job chapter 33, and you heard Braden giving us the testimony tonight. I think it's awesome. I think it's awesome. Braden said, you prayed for me last night, and I got deep sleep when I laid down. I'm praying that for every single one of you in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
God's doing a mighty work. Remember, you can keep up with the war in Israel. Go to Amir Sarfati on Telegram, A-M-I-R-T-S-A-R, Sarfati. He's a Messianic Jew, and he lives on the Sea of Galilee, 2 miles from where Jesus walked the road to Emmaus. Pretty cool. It's awesome. Remember, on Saturday mornings, we do not have a morning prayer time. It is Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, see you tomorrow night if you got question and answer. Tomorrow night's always question and answer. Saturday night is. If you got questions, then send them on in. My email address. We just had it up there. Let me see. I'll get it back up there real quick. There's our email address. And the website. There, that's what we had to say. Remember this. Until we see you again. Here, there, or in the air. That's what we had to say.
We
love you. And God loves you. And Jesus
is Lord.
Good night, everybody. Make sure you watch the family thread. We're going to keep posting stuff in there all the time. Stay connected. Stand in the gap. We've got to stand strong together. But we got to pray like we've never prayed before. We call you blessed in Jesus' mighty name. Seems like this goes so fast. And you always want to be able to talk for so long with all the people. All right. Call you blessed. Brother Dan, got anything else to say? Snore. Have a good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Check it out. We beat the 92nd lady.
How did we do that? We didn't start her up until later.